I prayed about what I wanted to talk about, and I actually had two different things. One was when God wakes you up, but I decided that's not what God wanted this morning, so apparently you are awake. But what I want to talk to you about is what everyone should bring to church with them. What everybody. Everybody seated right here now and everybody in a church anywhere. If you will, we bring all kinds of things to church, don't we? People bring snacks, candy, drinks, eggs. We bring all kinds of electronic devices because now we have our Bible on those. Some of us bring our Bible. But what is it that we should bring that maybe we don't bring with us? And Psalm 100 lays that out for us. It tells us the things that we should bring with us this morning. Now, I've already been encouraged by one member to say, Psalm 100 is full of verbs. So it's an action psalm. It's going to require actions out of us. And I've also been encouraged to not go too close to 12 o'clock because of other appointments this afternoon. So I guarantee you, you'll get out here no less than 11:59. No, I'm only kidding you. Only kidding with you. So what do we bring? Hebrews 10:25. You don't have to turn there. I'll tell you what it says. It says, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. Now, various reasons that happens. But the problem gets in there when there's a reason other than illness, out of town. If we're staying out of church just to stay out of church, then we need to start looking at what's going on with us. But let's look at what we should bring. And before we go there, I want to pray again. I just want to lift God up this morning. That's what it's all about. I was listening to those words in that song right there. It's not about me. It's not about JD. It's not about you. It's all about God. So I want us to pray to him this morning, and I'm going to ask him not just open our ears, but open our hearts and see if we get something out of this morning. I did already. Let's go. Father, we're in your presence, and what an awesome thing it is to be in the presence of the living God. It's also a fearful thing if our hearts are not right with you. So, Lord, I'm asking you this morning to help us look inside ourselves. Help us not only to hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, but Lord, to hear what you are speaking to our heart this morning. For Father, this psalm is an action psalm. It requires us to get up and get involved. And I thank you for that this morning. I pray your blessings, Father, upon your word. And Lord, I know your word will not return void. So I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 100, depending on the version of the Bible you have, and there are many of them out there, it's going to read something like this in the first two verses. This is the New King James. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now yours, if it's King James, it's going to say make a joyful noise. If it's NIV, it may say something totally different, but it's all coming around the same thing. We are to make a joyful sound, a joyful noise. Well, what does that mean? Let's break it down a little bit. What does the word make mean to you? Create. To bring something into existence. So we are to make a joyful noise. What is joyful? What does that mean to you? What is joyful? Joyful means to be full of great delight. And then noise. Well, noise is anything above a normal tone. It's shouting. It's an outcry. It's crying out loud. But it's an outward expression of a joyful, delightful, inward feeling. And we are told to make that joyful noise. The psalmist right here is saying, give God his due. Make a joyful noise. Don't just sit there. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here because I can remember my grandmother. When she took me to church, her first words to me was, be quiet. And I sat in churches that were quieter than cemeteries. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Not necessarily. But what happens when God starts to manifest himself through his Holy Spirit in you, and you start to feel something dwell up inside you, and something starts to get in your throat and wants to come out your mouth? Well, some of us will sit there and we'll fight it tooth and nail. We won't make that joyful noise. We won't give in to that Holy Spirit trying to praise God through us, because we're afraid of what the person sitting around me is going to think. If we're afraid of that, then we're not going to give God his glory, are we? Well, I can't do that. Well, no, maybe you can't. Maybe the Holy Spirit didn't move on you to make a joyful noise, outcry, stand up and shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He didn't make Leon quiet. I'll tell you that now, if you haven't figured that out yet. He didn't make Leon quiet. But he might manifest himself in another way in you. And we'll see that in a little bit. But first of all, we're told to make a joyful noise. So we should be amen in the preacher.
Amen.
Thank you. I know some preachers, if you did that to him, he'd pass out up here on this. But we really should. We should bring, first of all, coming in, this joyful noise, being the right spirit. Come to church in the right spirit. Come ready to make that joyful noise, to praise him. Has he not been good to you? Has he not brought you through things? You know, we see what we're up against. God sees beyond it. He sees, I've got to use Diane's song she's working on, and I'm working on it with her, but we see our trials from the mountain. The Shepherd's Point of View is the name of that song. And it talks about seeing your trials from his point of view, not yours. We see everything that's going on around us. We see the problem I'm experiencing, the health issue I have, the financial issue I have, the trouble I'm having with my next door neighbor. We see all of this stuff, but we don't see where God's leading it to, because we refuse to look beyond our problems. And we need to learn to make this joyful noise. This right spirit gets us into that position to where we're not afraid to praise the Lord. We're not afraid to say hallelujah, amen. You know, we don't care what other people think. I'm going to praise the Lord. We quote that scripture, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, as for me and my house, we will praise the Lord. Don't withhold praise from the Lord. Let's look a little further here. It says down here, Sandy, I told you I had something for you. It says down here, come before his presence with singing. How many people in here can sing? Come on. Come on. Keep. I'm not worried about how well. He said make a joyful noise. He didn't say sing in tune. So we can all sing out, can we not? Now, if I asked, I won't. But if I did, I'd ask how many people sing in the shower when nobody else hears them. At least you don't think they do. You might be surprised. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says this. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Did you hear that? Ronnie's following me back there. I was talking to Ronnie before the service. Ronnie, you on Psalm 40, verse 3, brother? Okay. Read verse 3 of Psalm 40, Ronnie. I caught him off guard. It's my fault. Well, we might be 11:59 and a half.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will speak and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Are you getting that? Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. If we hold back our praise, being shouting, lifting a hand, or whatever, how are people going to see it? Are we keeping people from putting their trust in God by withholding God's praise? I like to play with my Tuesday morning class. I tell them I mess with their minds. Debbie told me I'm very good at it. But think about it. That's not my words. Many will see our praise and fear. Well, fear doesn't mean be scared. It means to be in awe of God, to respect Him. And they will see that, and they will put their trust in Him. Talk about evangelism, soul winning. Let your praise out. Don't hold it in. Let it out. Let's go on a little further. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. I could stop right there. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. When you got saved, and I got saved, I gave up belonging to myself. I now belong to God. I should serve Him. I should do what He asks. A lot of people are afraid to give themselves totally, completely to God because they don't want to lose control. But yet, He made me. I belong to Him. I had nothing to do with my own creation. Nothing. If I had, I would have been the most handsome man you ladies ever saw. I would have been richer than Donald Trump. And you just wouldn't have been able to resist me. On the other hand, God says, we're not going to let you do that. Can you imagine if you can make up your own self? Would you create yourself differently? God said, I made you. Well, why did He make me? For His purpose, to serve Him. Now, a lot of people don't want somebody. Dieter, where did you go, brother? I lost Dieter. He's back there in the corner. Somebody told me I couldn't stand here because I blend in. But a lot of people don't want people telling them what to do. They don't like that. Well, when you gave yourself to God, guess what? You gave Him permission to tell you what to do. And when He calls you, and you want to argue, and you want to fight, and you want to hem-haw, and you want to, oh, I don't think I can do that. God called you for a reason. Because He had the confidence in you that you can do what He's called you to do. And you're going to put that confidence down? Well, if you don't like people telling you what to do, guess what? You're not going to like the next part, where it says we should serve Him with joy and gladness. Have you ever seen a kid in a toy shop? You were once one with me if you're as old as I am. We were once kids in a toy shop. Our eyes got all those toys in view. They got big as saucers, grin from ear to ear and twice as wide. That's the way a Christian should serve the Lord. We should be delighted in the fact that He's asked us, commanded us, if you will, to work for Him. What better boss could you have? I don't care who you work for right now. You can't outgive God. And as Debbie has often quoted to me, God has no retirement plan. You work till he's done with you. Then you go home. So we have to bring a shouting spirit, a one of praise, a serving spirit. How about Sandy over here with a singing spirit? We're to have a singing spirit. Our hearts should be so filled with the wonder and the love of God that we sing. And I know a lot of you sing. I listen to choir members continually. I lean forward. I get the privilege of sitting on the back row. And I can lean up and hear the ladies sing. And I can say, boy, that one's really on this song. She's really got this down. And I listen to some of y'all sing. I've talked with Miss Maina many a time about Joyful Noise. It was your group here, I believe, was it not? They sang. They can still sing. Young people, you can sing. So with that said, I expect to see the choir grow. You're welcome, Sandy. Believe me, if you want to have a good time in the Lord, come to Wednesday night choir practice. We have a blast. We really do. So the first two verses tell us about God in our life. You can't hide him. Don't try it. You're going to stifle out the Spirit, and you should not quench God's Spirit. That's other scripture. I won't go there this morning. Second thing we're to bring, the right submissive attitude. Oh, Leon, you're going to meddling now. The right submissive attitude. We are to know the Lord that he is God. There's been several times that I've talked to people and I said, how's your relationship with God? Well, I hope it's okay. And I stop them right there. No, you don't hope. You know. Where do you get that from, Leon? Well, go over to 1 John, if you will. Real quickly, 1 John chapter 3. In fact, I'll go there for you. Somebody beats me there, let me know. Verse 3. No. Doodly bloop. Chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It doesn't say we can hope. We think so. Maybe. Possibly. No, it's we can know. We know that we know him. And guess what? He knows us even better than we know him. So we have to submit to knowing God. Well, what does that mean? That means you're aware of him. You're aware of his presence in your life. Every time you have this little inkling to do something you shouldn't do, and that little voice says, whoa, wait a minute. That's God's Holy Spirit saying, you know me. You know I don't like that. Don't do that. So we have to know that we know God. Not that we hope we know him. Not that we think we know him. We know him. Second thing, we submit to his purpose. What is God's purpose? You are saved for a purpose. And guess what? It's not to avoid the gates of hell. And it's not to warm that spot on that pew out there. We are saved to work in his kingdom, to help add other people to the kingdom. I'm looking at Linton over here. I think about Linton. It was all he could do to talk about that church in Romania without crying, becoming overwhelmed. Is that because he was sad over the fact? No. That's because he did something that God told him to do. You did it in obedience. And that takes a big thing to do something in obedience. Because there's other things I'll guarantee you Linton would have rather been doing. Messing with his chickens. I heard him say this morning he was chasing a Troy belt. But I know Linton. Linton would like to have been on his boat fishing. But Linton heard the call. He saw the need, and he answered. And that's what's going on in our lives. We're not here just to be together, just to come and hear somebody break down God's word. You can read God's word for yourself. The question is, will you? Do you? So we have to submit to God's purpose. Well, I don't know what God's purpose is. Have you asked him? We had a call this morning come out for VBS volunteers. This place should be packed with people wanting to help win people to the Lord, especially young people, to the Lord. Yeah, I know, I'm meddling. You can fuss at me later, that's fine. We also have to submit to the promise of God. Well, what's his promise? Well, let's look at this a little bit. If you look over here at the second part of verse 3, it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, J.D. preached on Psalm 23. Those first five words, the Lord is my shepherd. If we would take that seriously, the Lord is my shepherd, we wouldn't have a care in this world. Because we know the shepherd looks after his own, does he not? He leads them to everything they need. He watches over them. He protects them. We would not have a worry in this world if we would take the Lord is my shepherd seriously. He says, we are the sheep of his pasture. That means he's our shepherd. Brother J.D., he's kind of an under-shepherd. But we need to take God at his word. We need to put everything aside, quit trying to do it ourselves. And I'm just as guilty. Diane will tell you, I drive her totally insane some days over the dumbest little things. She's laughing over here all she can right now. But I try to do things myself. And I realize I get in more trouble than if I'd have just stepped down and let somebody else do it that knew what they were doing. And it's the same way with God. When we try to take things into our own hands, we get in trouble. Whereas if we would just step aside and say, Lord, you're my shepherd, I'm trusting you, it would work out. It would work out. So we need to submit to knowing him, submit to his purpose, and submit to the promise. I want to read you a verse really quick. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Be careful for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the peace of God. The Bible refers to peace in three ways. Number one, it's peace with God. What is that? That's the ability to come to know him as Lord and Savior. That's giving up my sinful life to have peace with God, knowing my sins are forgiven. Number two, and I'm going to skip over number two, go to number three, peace on earth. Well, so there's no peace on earth, is there? There will be one day. It's the universal peace under God's reign. The one I want to dwell on is the peace of God. What is peace of God? Here's what it is. It is inward peace. It is the state of my soul that says I've committed everything to God. And I'm trusting in him to see me through and supply every one of my needs. That's what the peace of God is. If you're saved this morning, you belong to the chief shepherd. He will take care of you. The third thing, we are to bring the right sacrifice with us. So far, the right spirit, the right submissive attitude, and now the right sacrifice. What is that sacrifice? Verse 4 says, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. A sacrifice of praise. Is giving God praise a sacrifice? In a sense, because you have to put all inhibitions aside to praise God. You cannot be, well, if I raise my hand, somebody's going to say something to me. If I say, praise the Lord, somebody's going to say something to me. I'm going to stick out like the proverbial sore thumb. No, you have to put it aside and say, I don't care what people think. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. Stand up and praise the Lord. Sit down and praise the Lord. Cry and praise the Lord. Raise your hand and praise the Lord. Jump up and down and praise the Lord. Do whatever God tells you to do to praise the Lord. And do it without any fear, any reservation. That's how you get total release in your spirit. You don't worry about everything else. If we had to bring a blood sacrifice this morning, I'd be going up here going, who's it going to be? But we don't. Because of why? Because of Christ dying on a cross. When he died, that was it. The blood covered all my sins. Your sins, the world's sins, everybody's sins. It covered them. He hung up there and he took all of my sin off of me and put it on himself. It was his way of saying, I love you. I care for you. And all he asked us to do is serve. Be honest. Be truthful. Be faithful. That's all he asked out of us. God's house is to be a place of praise to him and him only. It's okay to tell the choir they did a great job on a song. It's okay to tell a soloist that same thing. It's okay to tell the preacher, man, that was a good sermon. But the heartfelt praise really, really goes to God because he's the one that enabled all that to happen in the first place. He's the one that gave us the ability to do that. He's the one that said, you're going to do this for me. He's the enabler. We are simply the vessel he uses. We're to bring a sacrifice of praise. And we're invited to come right into his presence. Did you notice that? We have to enter his gates and even into his courts. There was a time when we couldn't do that. There's a time now when people refuse to do that because they don't want to give up the lifestyle they're living. They don't want to give up. Oh, I'm having so much fun. But Christians need to get to that point where God is more important and living for God is more important than any lifestyle we could have. I don't care what it is. I'm working on another sermon. I won't bring it all out right now. But it deals with every individual as they come to church. The sinner, the saint, right on down the line. And yes, the lukewarm. It deals with all of them. We're invited to enter his courts with praise. We're allowed to go right into the throne room and meet him in all his glory. Verse 5. Last one. You can kick back and relax a little more now. About to wind down. Verse 5 gives us three reasons to praise the Lord. Number one, it says, for the Lord is good. What is good? Good is like the Lord is good. That doesn't really describe him, does it? We could say good means he's pleasant, he's beautiful, he's delightful, he's glad, he's joyful, he's precious, he's correct, and he's righteous. Everything about him is good. Everything. Remember my old saying, God is good all the time. Remember that. We're to praise God for his grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It's nothing you earned, I earned. Nothing. I want to read Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 to you. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. I'm on 24 right now. Says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I'm a little hesitant to bring this out because I ran it by Diane. I forgot to run it by her sister this morning, but I'm going to bring it out. I've never heard it put better. My mother-in-law had a saying, if God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. Praise him for his grace. The last thing we're to do is praise God for his guarantee. What guarantee? His faithfulness endures to all generations. It's never ending. His faithfulness is never ending. Not one single solitary promise God made has ever failed since time began. Nor will it ever fail as time goes on. Because God cannot lie. All his promises are yea and amen. When he tells you he'll take care of you, count on it. When he tells you he loves you, count on it. When he tells you he's coming back for you, count on it. So there you have Psalm 100. Something everybody should bring to church with them every time we get together. I don't know where you are with the Lord this morning. I don't know if God has spoken to your heart or not this morning. Only you know that. Maybe there's areas that we need to strengthen up in ourselves. And maybe there's not. But I'm going to leave it this way to you this morning. How's your spirit? How's your submissive attitude? And how's your sacrifice of praise? Are you willing to give God glory and not be afraid? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word because, like I said earlier, it does not come back void. Lord, I tried my best, but it's only through you that the message will touch hearts. It's nothing I've said. It's through you and your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, this morning that we will search ourselves and see if there's an area, Lord, that we're a little low in, maybe a little weak in. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now. Lord, as we give this time of invitation, it's a time to come to you and to get things straight between you and ourselves. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me. And I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.